Hello again, I'm Frieda Morrison. Welcome to Scots Language Radio, and welcome to the programme that celebrates Athing to Dee with the Scots language, the Shetland to the borders and Athing in a tween. In this edition, we're delving a lot, and it's just as weel because our studio guest, Dave Mitchell, is past curator of the Botanics in Edinburgh, and he's going to be sorting out bits of our gardens and garden words, including the birds and the beasties. And again with the delving, we're planting special seeds and growing bairns and students. And that takes us straight into our first item. There's nothing like a hillock of bairns singing and gaining at laldy to blow out the wintry wazzles. This is a wee smidgen of primary 4 and 5 bairns, Fairbine School and Deeside in Aberdeenshire, with their version of Turra Merket turned into a bine market. Primary 4 and 5 bairns, Fairbine School in Deeside, in Aberdeenshire, gain at laldy. We'll hear a longer version for you to hear at the end of the programme. Now, this was part of a Scots show put on at the school for all the parents, and it was a great success. I spoke to the teachers involved, Gail Nixon, Acting Deputy Head, and Karen McKinley and Charlotte Davis. First, Gail, explaining what the project was about.
Well, we've been really busy. We've been working really hard. We've been practicing our acting, a wee bit of singing, poetry, and a whole mix of things, practicing our local dialect.
What's the project? What did you want to achieve at the end of this?
Well, we really wanted kids to be more aware of their culture and their dialect here in Aboyne, the way that their feathers and their grandfathers would have spoken, and just to be aware of the richness of the language and to enjoy that experience.
Now, Gail's a fluent Doric speaker, but Karen, you're from Glasgow. That might be a bit of a challenge.
Aye, it was a wee bit of a challenge because I'm obviously teaching them a wee bit of Ouija Doric. So that's been quite comical in the classroom. But I've managed quite well to learn some of the lingo up here. But definitely they've come out a wee bit Ouija at times too.
What do you think the pupils have got out of this?
I think it's been a massively exciting project for them, and they've managed, you know, pick up their native mother tongue and also to get a wee bit more familiar with the culture.
Charlotte, you'd have had maybe a different kind of a challenge teaching this.
Yes, it was understanding the language and being able to teach it to the children without a good understanding of how to speak it myself.
So where do you come from, Charlotte?
Perthshire.
Right. Are you a Perthshire Scots speaker?
No.
I didn't like to say, but I just thought I'd ask you first. So, did you understand what you were teaching?
I did. I had to go away and learn the language first and practice it. But I understand some of what the children are saying now and what we've been learning.
Okay. Karen, back to you again. Highlights, what were they?
I think for my class, it's been the script reading and script preparing as well, script writing. Mm-hmm. They've done a lot of work, a bit of research on the farming of the local area, and also obviously that bringing that into script writing. So that's been really exciting in the class.
What shape is this going to take then, Karen?
Right, well, the show is based around farming, and so the first scene takes place in the Fian Market when the locals are looking for employment in the local farms. After that, we have a scene which takes place in the barnyard. Some of the people who are successful getting some employment celebrate that through the night and arrive a wee bit late for work the next day. And the final one scene takes place in the fields.
Right, Gail. Final question before, because the pupils are now lining up at the door, the bell's about to ring, the performance is about to start. Advice to someone in your position that's thinking about this, but maybe a wee bit of fear to start.
Well, I would say don't hold back. Go out and speak to folk in your locality, get the help you need, and go for it. You're depriving the kids if you don't give them a chance to learn about their culture and their language. It's so rich and should be part of their lives.
Yet it is the rarest. We ride the seas of morning, learn no major. Glenn. I really enjoyed it.
What did you get out of it, though?
Fun stuff.
Did you like the words that you were having to learn?
Yeah, they were hard, but you got used to them.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you talk to them in class, and like since you get so used to them, you talk to them quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then people always, like my mum and dad are saying, what does that mean?
What sort of words? Give me a few examples.
Fit like.
Mm-hmm.
Aye aye.
Aye aye. Okay.
And fit your day in.
You're not from Scotland, are you, Brooklyn?
No.
Where are you from?
England.
Do you think you'll always remember the words you've learnt up here?
Mm-hmm.
Right, moving across to Lexi.
I enjoyed the dark words, but they were quite difficult to learn, but they got easier as we kept on progressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it so much.
Ah, okay, I'm going to go back the way to Nathan. What did you get?
Well, I very much enjoyed the Doric words, and it's such like fun to start learning a new language that you've hardly ever used before.
Did you ken that this was here, Nathan? That this was the language?
Well, I knew the Doric language was here, but it just wasn't spoken in school at all. And then we're trying to get that going again.
Mm-hmm. You think that's a good thing?
Yeah, it's very good.
Okay, I'm going across to Lewis. Lewis?
I really liked it because I liked playing my accordion in it. And I've been playing it for about 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's good. Are you going for lessons, Lewis, yeah?
Yeah, every Monday.
Every Monday, good. Local teacher.
It's in Lavannon.
Oh, good. Right.
My name's Elsa. I like learning new languages and everything, and it's really good to learn languages. Like, when we speak Doric, the school didn't really speak it, and neither did the teachers, and then we're trying to start it, get going again and everything.
Do you think you're going to do another show? Would you like to do another show, Brooklyn?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think it was really fun, and I think everyone enjoyed it and put a lot of work into it.
Okay. I'm going to ask Lexi if she could lead us in that song she finished off with. Could you do that, Lexi, for me? The Band of Shearers.
Summer days and heather pals come blooming o'er on high, high hills. There's yellow corn in other fields, and the autumn brings a shearing.
Bonny lassie, will ye gang and shear with me the hill day lang? And love will cheer us as we gang to join yon band o' shearers.
And when the shearing is a-done, as yonder sets the evening sun, we'll hasten around, sing roaring fun, oh, can name e'er to the shearing.
Bonny lassie, will ye gang and shear with me the hill day lang? And love will cheer us as we gang to join yon band o' shearers.
Primary 4 and 5, Fairbairn Primary School, with a solo there from 10-year-old Lexi, finishing with a couple of verses for the Band of Shearers. Congratulations to the teachers. It was a great show. Mair power to your elbows. Well, I'm going to introduce my studio guest this week at this point. I've already mentioned him. He's an inimitable David Mitchell, past curator of the Royal Botanics and Gardens in Edinburgh. Welcome, David.
Ah, it's grand to be here again, Frieda.
And my regular studio companion, folklorist Steve Byrne. Now, you're best listening to that. Steve, what do you make of that now?
Well, I suppose my first response is it's fantastic that that's been going on. You know, it's right up my street. You ken the kind of things I've been doing in my hame toon and her broth, and I think it's fantastic the teachers have got the kind of motivation to ging and do that with the bairns. But I suppose the kind of counterweight to that is it's a bit of a crime almost that the bairns are saying things like it's a new language or we're having to learn this language and all that kind of thing. So it's a bit of an indictment of the way things is in some places.
That's fa said there's facts or chills at one a ding. That's a fact. It is under threat. David?
Funny, it was quite thought-provoking for me, Frieda, you know, because I was brought up in the countryside and inspired by nature and birds and all that, and I got to learn both sets of names, the good Queen's English names. And I learned all the other bird names and that, and a lot of bairns didn't get that now, but my grandparents encouraged me to learn both. So in a way, I was kind of, I feel guilty saying this, you can, but I'm going to say bilingual. And, it, you know, I think it's great to see it coming back, but I think it's often important that it doesn't just happen in Yinskeel, it happens in Skeels all throughout Scotland.
The encouraging thing for me was that there's teachers that had the courage to try it.
I admire that.
And it was a great phrase, dinner had back. I mean, that kind of sparked my... my ears there. I was like, "Aye, jinx, that's mission. It. Dinner head back. Get on and date."
That's the slogan. Here I go. Dinner,
I mean,
head back.
I admired doing Lassie. She said she was English and she's learning all these new words. They'll never forget that.
No.
It sticks with you when you're that age. You see, my grandparents speaking to me, and you just learn all these words. They never gone away. If you can get folk at that age, you get a real interest in it, and then it grows and goes on to the other things.
Well, see, that's a good springboard into what we're going to speak about next. Davy, you're at Galloway, loon born and bred. Dean Wheel, as they say, he's Dean Wheel. Just retired for the Botanics. Now gained the honour of being a research fellow at the Botanics. Brocked up to enjoy your own language, as you said.
Right.
Never lost the pleasure of using it.
No, never, never.
It's been the season for gardens and being out among the birds and the beasties. I've asked you to hook out some of your favourite Scots names for garden companions.
It's kind of interesting because I went away back to that time when I was young. You kind of, I grew up with corbies, or rooks, and cushy-doos, wood pigeons, and waggies, bide wagtails, and then the wap. You kind of wap, the curlew, and hoolets. And I was fascinated with hoolets, and you're right listening for them at night. But because I was beside the sea, I had all the other birds, you know, you can, a cherry piper, you ken him?
It's a cherry piper.
He's the oyster catcher.
Really?
Or the stilty, the reed shank.
Aye.
He's on big long legs. And then, you know, my favourites, the black duiker.
What's that?
The black duiker, the cormorant. You just think about him, he's like some black exocet that flees along and just boom. And Dooney guns, and Bucky comes up again, usually with a fish in his mouth. But I mean, my grandparents, and an anonymous poem it was called The Twa Corbies, you'll ken that. As I was walking a lane, I heard twa corbies mocking a mane. The tin to the tither did say, "And whar will we gone and dine the day?" I just loved that. You know, you got these things, they were there every day. The rest of that poem's a wee bit gruesome. If you didn't ken the twa corbies, you should look it up. Right. Shooting a boot.
You've got some birdie words as well, birdies' names.
I was just looking up bits and bobs, of course. Some of the songs, the birds, like the laverick appears an awful lot in folk song, you would ken that. You know, up in a while with the laverick and
Lizzie and Higgins.
Aye. A few different things, really. I suppose there's any of the sayings, kind of thinking about the month of May and looking up birds and that, Ken and Dave was coming in. Apparently you're not meant to put eggs, although a hen in May. Apparently it's no good for getting eggs to hatch. It says May chuckens is aye cheapen. I was interested to find out that birds often hear a bit of a kind of, they signify things. You can, for example, the yellow yorlin or the yite, the yellow hammer, had a bit of a bad name and was often persecuted in firms. There's a wee bit here. It says, its character summed up in the following lines: half a puddock, half a teed, half a drap, a deal's bleed in a May morning. Half a strange.
Another bird that celebrates, I think, the wild beauty of the countryside is the corncrake. I'll tell you about what the words mean when the echo mocks the corncrake. What's this next song, Steve?
Well, it's Def Shepherd for their album Synergy, and it's a made-up beat version of the corncrake than folk are maybe used to hearing, but it's a fantastic song,
a great lyrical song. Okay, here it goes.
Oh, the or I spend same money next down by the banks of O'Weir. Or I spend same money next where yon wee bunny rows and the echo mokes the corn creek among the pony. I will hood each other dearly, and disputes we seldom had. As constant as a pendulum, our heartbeat highways guide. We search for love and find it where yon wee bunny rows, and the echo mocks the corn crake among the whinny. Ye maidens fair and pleasure dames, gin to the banks of Doon. Daily pipe, bravery sent to the barbar far perfume. The rural joy is free for all, scented clover grows, and the echo mocks the corn crake. I am like the money.
Moran singing with Deaf Shepherd, the Corncrake. You're listening to Scots Language Radio. This is Frieda Morrison. My studio companions are folklorist Steve Byrne and past botanic curator Dave Mitchell. Steve, back to you. You've been raking about in the archives, as we said before. How Canute's strange but fascinating customs, mostly related to spring. Some we can't mention, some we can. Use another in.
Well, of course, we've got May Day coming up, or Beltane, as it would be called in Scotland. And I suppose there's not that much in the Scots tradition, really. It's mostly a Gaelic and a Highland thing that's got the wealth of things to do with Beltane. It is, aye. It's quite an old tradition. But certainly, you know, the things that folk would probably have heard of was going up Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh to wash your face, give your face a dicht in the morning dew. And it was meant to give you lifelong beauty. So will I be heading up there early hours of the 1st of May?
Some of us need it.
And some of us didn't. Anyway,
I was going to say that, but I didn't, Steve.
You've got to get in quick here on this show, Dave. So, any other things then? Of course, it's a spring fire festival and maypoles and all that sort of thing. And Robert Ferguson, the Edinburgh poet, had a wee poem today with May Day. I'll read you a wee bit of it. It's called Caller Water. On May Day in a fairy ring, we've seen them round St Andon's spring. Fae grass the caller dewdrops ring to weet their een, and water clear as crystal spring to sign them clean. Is that no bra?
That's good, that.
That's good, that, isn't it?
Fae about this casting clutes in?
Well, maist folk, I suppose, throughout the British Isles would have heard ne'er cast a clute till May's
out. Maybe out, aye.
And most folk think that May refers to the month, but as far as I'm led to believe, it's meant to be actually the mayflower or the hawthorn. Which is just flew around about this
time.
Oh,
mine and my grandparents used to get a crack in the lug if you took your jumper off. Yeah, you never cost a clue to buy
you. Any time of the year, you just take your jumper off and
you took it out early in the spring. Your granny would say, here, get the your jumper off and that never cost a clue to maybe out. She was aye at you about it.
Well, and of course, with the Gab of May, you can up in the northeast of Woodcar the first few days.
Mochy weather. Aye. We're having half a mochy weather up there.
Same out in East Lothian the last couple of days. So it's.
Can I tell you about the corn crake now?
Okay. Aye, aye.
The echo mocks the corn crake amongst the whinny nows, right?
What's that about?
Now, the corn crake can throw its voice. Not many folk are keen about this, but throws its voice and to put you off far it's at.
Aye.
You think it's over there, but it's over there. Right, it can actually throw its voice.
Of course, of course.
You're sitting, you're looking at me, you're stunned with admiration about my knowledge.
And its Latin name is one of the easiest to mind. It's Crex, Crex.
That's right.
The corn crake.
It's like the petrick. Petrick can actually muck on, it's got a broken wing.
Aye.
And lead you off, and you think, I'll easy catch it. They should be getting Oscars on these birds. They're a great actors, they can.
Your memories of spring's a queer thing, whether it's no tucking your jumper off or whatever.
Getting a crack in the lug with your granny.
Aye, but I mean my fondest memories about Galloway were lying on the sand dunes and watching the skylark or the laverock.
Well, I'll tell you what your favourite bird is. It's the gled or the red kite. Because far my wife comes from Germany, it's one of the biggest breeding grounds for red kites in the hill of Europe. And your eyes see them going out about the fields. It's fantastic.
Is that your favourite bird?
Aye.
You come up to my croft, you'll see it. It's fleeing over there, probably as we speak. There's a pair nesting somewhere nearby. Can I tell you about my lammy circling now?
It feels like it.
Okay. A couple of days ago, a couple of nights ago, triplets were born. My new lambing shed has been christened. And it's busy. Triplets. There's one just surviving in the name. It's got a wee jackety on. But the triplets have been born. The lambing has begun up by. And I think that's just about the right time to the end of the song. This seems to be Fiona Hunter. What's this scene again, Steve?
We've got Jock Hawk's Adventures in Glasgow. There's a laddie gangs in and comes down for presumably somewhere up north and just gets into a bit of a truckle way things.
Gets into a truckle. That's the best way of putting it. Here's Jock Hawk's Adventures in Glasgow.
Then I went the next to spend my penny piggy and a bonny lass she kick and sent to pay me company. Tamma hi, tamma do, tamma hi, tam de, tamma hi, tamma do, tamma hi, tam de. She kent I was a bloomin' chill, a stranger to the tune. She said not need me hand her ye to jog it up and down. Tamma hi, tamma do, tamma hi, tam de, tamma hi, tamma do. Tamma hai tam de. She took off her petticoat and I took off my sock and we spitted at the joby while we blew the muckle tack. Tamma hai tamma do, tamma hai tam de, tamma hai tamma do, tamma hai tam de. We walked up Jamaica Street and in the Bloomy Law where organ lads were playing and the fiddlers in the club. Tamma hai tamma do, tamma hai tam de, tamma hai tamma do, tamma hai tam de. We went into a tavern and I got for some gin and all the folks about the place they smiled as we come in. Tamma hai tamma do, tamma hai tam de, tamma hai tamma do, tamma hai tam de. We hadna been in half an hour when in came half a score. Oh, sailor lads and quine, say, bra, you've never saw before. Tamma hai, tamma do, tamma hai, tam de, tamma hai, tamma do, tamma hai, tam de. Well, they drank the malt, they drank the gin, they drank it tarik free. And Elkie and I drank success to the bonnie wee lass and me. Tamma hai, tamma do, tamma hai, tam de, tamma hai, tamma do, tamma hai, tam de. And sang till they was drunk near. And then the sailors backed or cried, all hands and deck of beer. Tamma hai, tamma do, tamma hai, tam de, tamma hai, tamma do, tamma hai, tam de. as the lads they said goodbye. The hen was jealous, he went third, says, Jock, you've had to pay.
Tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee, tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee.
While they took my watch, they took my chain, my spluck and my knife. It's a wonder that they did not tag my little spunk all night.
Tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee, tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee.
Waddle the bear, say naked and say bare. I gie doot the same thing, Glasgow, and I'll never get the mare.
Tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee, tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee, tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee, tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee, tum-a-hi, tum-a-doo, tum-a-hi, tum-dee.
Fiona Hunter with Jock Hawk's Adventures in Glasgow off her new album, just Fiona Hunter. And Fiona's going to be joining you, Steve, in a concert in Tradfest that starts on the 29th of April till 11th of May. Aye. What else is on offer?
Well, a hail ween of things, for folk drama to exhibitions and song, dance, storytelling, that sorts of things. But a few highlights. The Floors at Edinburgh is kind of a focus on some of the musicians that have made Edinburgh their home over the years. Maybe they don't abide there now, but some of the folk that have been some of the bigger bands, might be one or two members of Malinky in that. On the 3rd of May at Teviot. There's a show called Bonnie Collier Lads and Lasses with Ewan McVicar and Siobhan Miller on the 7th of May, and they're looking at some of the songs that they've put together with some of the bairns and communities in the Central Belt. We've got a thing called the Hert O'er Learning, which is the 9th of May, and that's Scots music group Tutors. It's a great music project in Edinburgh that's showcasing for the Tutors Day outside of the classroom, if you like. Mm-hmm. And then that thing, as you said, with Fiona and Lucy Pringle, myself and a couple of other singers, Scots Songs, which is looking at the ballads for Walter Scott's minstrelsy.
And I should mention that that song that Fiona was singing was sung by Robin Stapleton, for won the Young Trad Musicians Award, BBC Scotland. Mm. And she sang the song that she heard Tom Spears and Arthur Watson singing at the Trad Awards. And the Spears family, it's a long run about why to tell you, the Spears family are going to be at the Storytelling Centre on the 8th of May.
That's right.
It'll be a good concert in there. Right, I'm back to your studio guest, renowned gardening expert, David Mitchell, recently retired, as rumour has it, as curator at Edinburgh Botanics. And we were speaking about the Scots names for birds earlier on, Dave, and that giant fine into fit why I travelled with you all the way to Galloway, doing to Galloway, to the Logan Botanic Gardens, doing there, to see your exhibition card, Weeds, Bees and Butterflies. Now, tell us about that.
Well, you see, I just think that everybody says weeds are just weeds. And they might be. There might be a real problem. But if you took nettles, for example, there's three different species of British butterfly needs the nettle to survive. You can muck tea with nettles, you know. You can muck soup with them. You even get the own cheese for Wales that's wrapped in it. Cornish yarg gets wrapped in nettles. And the relationship between man and nettles, well, it goes... And weeds in general goes back hundreds of years. It's almost as though weeds follow man about. If you took just the value of something like bees to our daily life, where would we be without honey? Mm-hmm. Where would you be without the joy you get when you see a wee butterfly fleeing about? But did you ken that a honeybee, only produces about a 12th of a teaspoon of honey in its entire lifetime? And it takes 48,000 miles a bee flight to muck a litre of honey.
Wee thing.
You think all the wee insects gone buzzing about day and all that thing? And what do they feed on? A lot of them feed on weeds. Things like stinking Jenny, that's the nettle for the butterflies, or the Dawkins. A lot of butterflies and mostly their eggs on Dawkins. Or those stinking Billy, the ragwort. Mm. That's a big plant for butterflies and bees to feed on. You think things like fairy thimbles, the foxglove, or craties. you ken them.
Crotties.
Crotties is a name, a gal of a name for the bluebells.
Yeah.
We're hanging down, you think of them sitting like that, uh-huh. just hanging like that. And then, of course, the snowdrop. But you ken any of the most important plant for bees and butterflies and that is dandelions. You ken it's like on colt's foot. You see that, you may not, you often see it at the road. Really, just about the end of February, there'll be a wee white stalk sticking up with yin single yellow flower on the top of it, like a dandelion. It's colt's foot. That plant is absolutely vital for the emerging queen bumblebees. And there's about 24 species of bumblebee in Britain. But that's one of the earliest flowering plants there is, and the bumblebees need that to feed on, because it flowers when knocked else and flowering.
Now, before we forget, we should mention that we're both half a keen to promote the biggest annual gardening show to be staged in Scotland, CAD Gardening Scotland. And it's on at Ingleston outside Edinburgh on the 30th, 31st and the 1st of June. And me and Mr Mitchell, being on the committee, have managed to pochle a couple of free tickets. We got permission, like, we didn't just pooch them. And this is for the first person, if I can answer a simple gardening question. You ready for the gardening question? Okay.
Okay.
Gentlemen, ready? Fit floor is called the mappy moo. Fit floor is called the mappy moo in Scots. Answers on an email, okay, to me at info@scotslanguageradio.com. Okay, or you can just come to us through the Facebook
Aye.
Page as well. So, Fit Floor is called the Mappy Moo. Two free tickets to Garden in Scotland. Two free tickets to Garden in Scotland to be gained to the first right answer. And mine and Guy's your name and address. That is important. And as well as the floors and the shrubs to see and buy and the show gardens at Garden in Scotland, there's a lot of music in there. I'll tell you more about our story tent after this next song. And we've even got a food section. It's a grand day out. Fit Song's next.
Well, we've got the singer Lucy Pringle, who is appearing on the 11th of May. I might have mentioned that at Tad mm-hmm. Fest. But here she is in her duo with Chris Wright, and they're doing a brass song for the Borders about marabones and all sorts of things. The Old Woman of Kelso.
There was an old woman in Kelso she did dwell. She loved her husband dearly, but another man twice as well. Singing falderido, titifalido, falderido away. She went into a chemist shop, a medicine for to find. Oh, could you give me something, sir, to mak an old man blind? Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido way. You can get a pound of marabone and grind it very small, and put it into the old man's eyes, he won't see any at all. Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido way. She bought a pound of marabone and she ground it very small. She put it into the old man's eyes, he couldn't see any at all. Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido away. Oh, my dearest wife, seeing I am tired of life, I think I'll go and drown myself and that shall end the strife. Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido away. To drown yourself, the woman said, oh, that would be a sin. So I'll come to the river's edge and kindly push you in. Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido away. They merged along together till they came to the river brim. The old man was to stand at the brink, the woman to shove him in. Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido away. The woman took a long line stride to shove the old man in. The cunning old rascal stepped aside, the silly old woman fell in. Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido away. Husband, come save me while I cry. How the devil can I save you with a marabone in my eye? Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido away. She swam about the river till she came to the river brim. The old man caught a pile and stopped and shoved her further in. Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido away. Tag that ye all, yad, ye thought that I was blind. But I'll gae merchant hame again, another good wife I'll find. Singing, falderido, titifalido, falderido away. The young man he went merchant hame, and merrily he did sing. The wife was gane into Rindersell, and now she's free frae sin. Singing fal-de-ride-o, titifal-ide-o, fal-de-ride-o-way. Singing fal-de-ride-o, titifal-ide-o, fal-de-ride-o-hey.
The Auld Woman of Kelso, sung by Lucy Pringle and Chris Wright. Now, before we leave the subject of Gerdon in Scotland and the Fleur Show there, I said we'd mention the Story Tent. Me and Davy Mitchell will be staging the Story Tent for the first time at the show at Gerdon in Scotland. A day of stories for bairns and adults. Time about bairns and adults. Our storyteller for the bairns is Andy Cannon, renowned and very skilled and able to introduce the bairns into the magic of the Gerdon. And Steve Byrne will be in charge of the music again. You're wheezing the Story Tent, Steve. Mm-hmm. Right. Dave Mitchell will be telling stories of the Scottish plant hunters. And he makes enough a good job of it. And I'll be doing a few conversations with special gardening guests to get their stories about their lives in the gardening world. Folk like Willie Duncan from Upper Largo and Fife, my gardening hero. Mm-hmm. Stevie met Willie near that long ago. He's right. Mr. Scottish Garden and a renowned apple expert. Tell Davy what fit happened to you about the apple.
Well, my grandmother was half interested in local. Well, she's interested in local things anyway. She passed away last autumn, but coming for Arbroath, she kent a wee bit about the Oslin or the Arbroath pippin. Mm-hmm. So I put out a call to Frieda around the time of the funeral. Says, could you get ahead of any Oslins for me? It was a bit late because an Oslin comes on about August is when the fruit comes on the tree. And of course, Frieda, with all her connections in the gardening world, got me in touch with Willie. And of course, Willie has punnets and punnets and punnets of about 100 different types of apples in the back of his car at any given time because he gangs about demonstrating them to talks and hanging our Scotland. So there I go, and I got on the way up to the funeral half a dozen Oslins to tack up and show to the family because she'd been in the local paper. Kind of gearing the council a row because they claimed they'd brought the Oslin back to Arbroath, but it was really my granny that had gotten the first dibs on getting apples back up for the gardens at Melrose Abbey. So
that was a grand story.
Aye.
We have a big story to tell about our horticultural heritage in this country. We just haven't even begun to sing the song, far less sing it out loud enough yet. Right, are we ready for another song? This is a very appropriate song. Ye Flowery Banks by Mary Campbell.
Aye, this comes for the Lynn Records Complete Songs of Robert Burns. And it's a bit of a different melody that you might be used to hearing. You'll ken the text once you hear it, but Mary Campbell, who's also appearing at Tradfest.
Ye Flowery Banks.
Ye flowery banks, o bonny doon, how can ye bloom sae fair? How can ye chant, ye little birds, and I sae fu' o' care? Thou brak my heart, thou bonny bird that sings upon the bough. Thou minds me o' the happy days when my false love was true. Thou brak my heart, thou bonny bird that sings beside thy mate. For say I sat and say I sang, and was now home my fate. Aft he a rove by bonny doon, to see the woodbine twine, and elk a bird sang, oh it's love, and say did I, oh mine. Its thorny tree, and my false lover stole the rose, but left the thorn with me. We left some hurt a poor rose upon the morning June, and see I flourished on the morn, and say was poor noon.
Mary Campbell with Ye Flowery Banks. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I accompanied David Mitchell to Galloway last week to see his exhibition at Logan Botanic Garden. Logan is part of the Botanics in Edinburgh, one of four, na far fae Stranraer, in the Rens of Galloway. And listen to this piece of information, it was the backdrop to the 1970s film The Wicker Man.
Was indeed. And there's still a big festival down there every year for the Wicker Man.
It was the backdrop to the Wicker Man. I didn't care that. And it, the Gerdon's billed as Scotland's most exotic Gerdon, so I couldn't resist the chance to have a blether with Davy and sit with him on the bench overlooking the Gerdon, for he's been in and out a lot over the years. We begin with the place we're at.
We're away down in the Mull of Galloway, Wigtonshire. You kinda, it's like a tropics down here. Look at that blue sky, and kinda, this place means an awful lot to me. I've come here since I was a bairn, 50 years ago plus. And you can come here and see the world. You can look at it. You're sitting here on this bench, and you can see Scotch pines and native trees among cabbage palms for New Zealand. That would be 25, 30 feet high. There's tree ferns there for New Zealand, and eucalyptus for Australia, 50, 60 feet high. Plants for the Canary Islands, camellias for the Himalayas. You can walk around the world here.
I was thinking it felt really, well, tropical.
Well, it's the Gulf Stream. It gets the benefit of the Gulf Stream, cannot free central heating. It comes from America, right across the Atlantic, and it brings warm, cool air. You very rarely get frost here. It snows not unknown, but you don't often get frost. Wind and salt spray can be a challenge, but you can plant to protect the garden from that. And of course, they've got high walls here that keep the wind out. And of course, this place is all part of the Royal Botanic Garden of Edinburgh. It's part of where they grow all their tender living collection.
But you've got bloody dendron trees as big as oak trees. Massive, aye, great big things.
See away there in the distance, aye, there, one big pink flowers there. It's a big magnolia for the Himalayas. It must be about 35, 40 feet high.
That magnolia.
And then we just come underneath on big rhododendron there, rhododendron Sina Grande.
Aye.
For the Himalayas and Burma.
You've got a wee
Myanmar, and of a wee flower I picked up off the ground. You see how nature's that clever. You just look at that big white cream flower about 2 inches across. And imagine my finger's a bumblebee. He's buzzing along towards it. You see, and the clear lines that you see.
The red bits?
No, the clear ends.
Oh, yeah.
The bumblebee sees them as a kind of blue, and he just waggles his backside in there, and he's buzzing about the way down the bottom looking for the nectar. He's get a feed, and then he comes out and he's all covered in pollen. And the next flower he glances to, he comes in and his pollen rubs off on the sticky stigma.
And that's it?
That's it. And out of that, the wee pollen grain grows and produces seed the way down in there. And the seed eventually germinates and produces a big bush like that, 30, 40 feet high.
But that's really, I suppose, part of why we're here, to see your exhibition.
Well, you wanted to come and see Weeds, Bees and Butterflies. The exhibition is here on to June. And you can't, we all moan about weeds, nettles and groundsel and cyclic things, but weeds and insects of an interrelationship, just as man and weeds can. Weeds follow man. Wherever he's busy, weeds appear. There's a kind of queer relationship between man and weeds, but there's an even queerer one between insects and weeds. You can.
What was the name of the butterfly that was the nettle?
Known peacock butterfly.
Peacock butterfly.
Its whole life cycle depends on nettles. So next time you get stung with a nettle, just mind that the butterfly needs that to lay its eggs on and for its caterpillars to feed on.
And didn't they just cut them all down?
Didn't they cut them all down? No, didn't they? See, the worst thing that was invented was, you know, doing blooming strimmer things, cutting all wild flowers down and trimming banks and, oh, just let nature have a wee bit of space for herself.
What would you like to see happen here? Because you've been looking after this, well, you've been advising in this place for a few years.
I've been associated with the place for years and queer roads, but
a new greenhouse? You've got a new
I'm retired now for the Botanic Garden, but it was awful nice they made me a research associate, and I was awful pleased about that. It'd be nice to help young Richard Baines here get that big Alitex greenhouse. You look at it there, you'd think it had been here for 150 years.
Beautiful greenhouse.
It's a bonny greenhouse, and it'll allow them to grow a lot more stuff here that they've not been able to grow. Bring it in and out and tender things and expand the range of what's here. And of course, the most important thing, the educational role of the garden. Because this place is here to teach folk about the world's flora. It's also here to train young gardeners. I mean, Richard was just telling me the day about a couple of French students that is due to pick them up the day they're coming here. There's be students here all summer learning about unusual plants, how to grow them, how to prune them, how to sow them. whatever, gain an experience here, they can't get on anywhere else.
The best is fit as a boot in Scotland. We've got a fantastically rich heritage, horticultural heritage. We didn't sing enough about it, did we?
Well, we didn't. Tell everybody, Scotland girds the earth. It's been doing it for centuries. Maybe that's because we're connected with the land, with agriculture, soil, hard working outside, honest, stubborn, throwing. You need to be all these things to muck things grow.
Well, apart from taking me here to see this, fit would you like to leave in your lifetime as a gairdner?
Another generation of gairdners, that's all. Have I said for a long time, you have to grow people to cultivate plants. If you want to grow plants, you need to grow folk. If you didn't grow folk, you grow nothing. I wouldn't be where I am if some folk hadn't given me a chance.
Mr. Mitchell, that was lovely.
I'm glad you liked
it. I'm good to
greet. Didn't do that.
Davy Mitchell, fit can you say? With a dramatic voice like that. What wonderful, a great wonderful end. And grow folk, another generation's a gairdner. He couldn't have put it better. You see, our theme this month is about growing things and folk. Mm-hmm. Bairns, students, adults. Recht, afore you go, Mr. Mitchell, we're going to get our money's worth out of you. I kind of let you get out the garden gate without answering some of the listeners' gardening questions. The first thing that folk are speaking about at the moment is tomatoes.
Oh, no.
Speaking about tomatoes.
That's a dark zone, Frieda.
It's an half a frosty spring, and a lot of folk are having trouble. Advice, please, Mr. Mitchell.
Well, you just persist, and I mean, tomatoes are a great thing, but there's that many problems about growing them, and yet they're worth all the effort and more. You know, I think if you get whether you buy your plants or whether you sow them for seed, there's several things you need to keep in mind. They need to be well ventilated. If they're in the greenhouse, you don't want them getting hour hot or cold. Mm-hmm. You keep the ventilation under control. Keep the air movement going through, or you get tomato leaf mould. Watering. If you didn't water them right, you'll get blossom end rot. That's when the bottoms of the fruit get a black bit in the bottom. But that mine, that's linked to a calcium deficiency, I know. But if you didn't control the temperature right, the fruit will crack and split. You can still eat it when it's like that, muck chutney with it, but it's not much good. You know, it doesn't look nice to cut up for a salad. So, ventilation and watering. Bugs and beasties. Och, they'll get all thing that's gone for white fly to aphids and all that. But some folk put in French marigolds along the bottom because the smell of the marigolds keeps the white fly
that's
away. And other folk,
French marigolds.
Mint, supposed to keep off aphids and whatever. You can spray them if you want. If you get yellow in the leaves, it might be a virus, but it's more likely to be magnesium deficiency. Give them a dose of Epsom salt.
Buying a pickle tomatoes.
As somebody that's no spent much time growing tomatoes, we've bought some out of shop, right? Three plants. Fit do we do with them now? They've been sitting in the dining room at the patio one day. Can we put them outside the new?
Well, it'll depend. You wouldn't put them out the new because it's still maybe ever cold. And even for the varieties that are growing in pots, it depends what variety they are and whether they've to be growing in a greenhouse. But or you know, you can grow them in grow bags, or you can put them in a container, or you can grow them in big pots. You even get wee varieties now that you can grow in a hanging basket and pick off them wee cherry tomatoes. So depending on the variety, depends on what you could do, but I wouldn't be, even with my outsideians yet, no, I wouldn't be putting them out yet. It's too early. So Jack Frost could still come out and give things a scalp.
Scalp and Jack Frost.
Yeah, tuck them back in.
Well, I'm going to make my fortune this year in my tomatoes. I've got exotic tomatoes I planted. Variegated tomatoes, pear-shaped tomatoes.
You've been doing all the fancy heirloom varieties.
Fancy heirloom varieties, and I've got a new watering system. My jointers are installed. It's bound to be a disaster.
Have you got any beefsteaks?
I've got some beefsteaks.
Oh, I love them, man.
Beefsteak tomatoes.
Great,
like
cut the top off and hook the inside out and crack an egg in it and just cook it in the oven.
You can't think else I'm going to try this year as well. I'm going to try and make an oven. Fit the car pizza oven so I can actually cook my tomatoes in the garden and make my pizzas.
think so.
You are sitting there just dumbfoonered.
No,
you
I'm hungry.
Dumbfoonered.
But how are you growing yours? Are they in the grun or in bags
no
or what?
No, bags. I've actually sourced special bags for them because I've got magentas and my kind of watering system and I'll have drip feeds in my bags.
Maybe you two all ken this, right? I heard in the... You ken the Jack and Victor, right? Still game. The programme.
Oh, aye.
Right? There's a bit in the programme for their mac in a fry up or whatever, and he says, oh, you want a tomato? And he says, oh, what kind? And he says, it's a lanark. Now, could only you tell me what he means there? Does he just mean a tomato ground in the
Clyde? The Clyde Valley in Lanarkshire was a huge tomato producing area.
Aye.
So it's probably a wee dig to, it was nae any of the Dutch things. It was fair Lanark. It's a Scottish tomato. It tastes better.
Fair dues.
Have they started up again, though?
There has been a bit of a resurgence in that kind of thing, and it's grand to see. Because whether you grow your own or buy them, there's nothing better than just that freshness of a tomato. What is it about a tomato when you pick it in a greenhouse and you just cut it open and the doctor will not agree, but it needs a pinch of salt. And you put that on it and you just, oh, your whole body just tingles, man. Fantastic.
I usually grow a lot of little cherry tomatoes. This is my new venture into exotic tomatoes. Exotic tomatoes, right? But my cherry tomatoes, I kind of walk through the greenhouse without...
without picking left. Them. See, I've onion last year, and this is a tomato, and it's called orange banana. And it's a wee yellow tomato with a kind of slight kind of curve on it. Oh, man, the one thing, you put it in your mouth, and it just explodes with taste. Oh, fantastic.
Right. And I'm just thinking, now, before we came into the studio, Richie Werner said he'd have a trouble with his green flea and his, was it the chives?
Chives or something, aye.
Well, again, anything that's got flush young growth on it, they'll make a headline for it.
Aye, but his mint is in our water jug.
Aye, but there's nae green fleas floating
there's
about.
There's nae green, I'm just looking to see if
there's nae in there, it's fine.
Floating about.
Just be a crunchy bit one of me. How do you want it about?
He says, I have a trouble with green fleas.
I'm vegetarian.
In the next breath, he says, I put some of my mint in your water jug. I have a trouble with green fleas. Okay, well, we could speak for hours about gears and stuff.
So
let's be honest. And we're just the very folk to speak for hours. We have to be honest about that, Anna. And it's just about time to shut the garden gate, bringing us to the end of this edition of Scots Language Radio. My thanks to our studio guest, David Mitchell. It's been a great pleasure again, Dave. And another thank you to our song sorter, Steve Byrne, and our awful nice soon sorter, who has got awful trouble with Greenflea, Richie Werner. Steve, before we go, can you give us some of our linky bits?
Aye, just a reminder then of the email address if you want to get in touch about your gardening questions or to enter the competition about the Mappy Moo.
Aye.
It's info@scotslanguageradio.com. You can also have a look at our Facebook page, which is rthews.facebook.com/ScotsLanguageRadio. And you can find us on iTunes and mind and give us a wee rating to get us up the charts.
And news just in, the Swallows are back.
Aye.
The Swallows have come back. It's started out again. So join us again next month. We finish with the voices of Primary 4 and 5 from Abyn Primary School. This is Abyn Market merged with Tura Market. Thay me Frieda Morrison. Boy the new.